Hi, I'm Ray Zod.
And I'm Connor L.
And we do a Superman podcast.
Called The Last Sons of Krypton. And you are listening to the DCAU podcast.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Batman Bad Blood.
Ray.
So, I think this is the first time in a while we've had a DCAMU film.
Yep. We've had a lot of Lego.
Yeah. So, this is a sequel to Batman vs. Robin.
Yep.
And it's a Batman film where Batman's only in it for a little while. I don't think he's in it very long at all.
He's in it enough to be the theme, but he's the subject of it.
Yeah.
You know, Batman not being in it doesn't necessarily make it a worse film.
Absolutely. This film takes place about 6 months after Batman vs. Robin. And we open up to the introduction of a new member of the Bat family.
Hooray.
Also one
Bat
of
Batwoman.
One other note I had, when the DC logo was the comic flap,
yeah,
they always used to show who the film was about, and I noticed Nightwing was the focus in this one.
I know. I mean, like, I have no idea why I feel good about this film.
I have no idea. I couldn't possibly guess.
Couldn't possibly understand why this one appeals to me.
So. We open to a series of quite powerful villains, including Electrocutioner, Tusk, Firefly, Killer Moth, and I had a note down of what Calculator and a bunch of villains that we don't really see that often.
Yeah, I didn't really recognize many of them, I have to say.
I only recognised Electrocutioner, Firefly, and Kill Moth because they turn up somewhere else.
Mm.
So, at first, you think that it's Batman that attacks the villains, but it turns out, no, it is Batwoman, Kate Kane, which I believe is the first time we've seen her.
Yep, I think so.
In this film, most of the cast is returning, so Jason O'Mara as Batman, Stuart Allen as Damian Wayne Robin, Sean Meyer as Dick Grayson, spoiler alert, Marina Baccarin as Talia al Ghul, and it's Yvonne Strahovski as...
Strahovski, I think.
She's appeared in... She's appeared in a few films. The place I've heard her most is she plays one of the major characters in the Mass Effect trilogy.
Okay. I mean, obviously, she's mostly famous for Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck as well. I was kind of going, is Chuck that famous? But
I think so. I mean, I think it's as famous as Mass Effect.
Yeah, probably.
It's just some for TV viewers and some for gamers.
Aye. So, actually, now I think about it, because the only other kind of real thing to feature Kate Kane was the Batwoman TV series, which we're not going to touch at all. So I think this is probably the most prominent the character's been in film. So Batman arrives to help Batwoman. Batwoman uses guns.
Yay.
Yep, absolutely. So, Batman is spending as much time trying to stop Batwoman using her guns and saving her as he does actually fighting the villains.
He has his priorities a bit mixed up here, but you know, it's alright. He's probably had a bad day.
And eventually, an enormous Dorito of a man... arrives wearing a bat mask.
Yeah.
And he's the leader of this gang Batman seems to recognize him, which
is weird.
It's weird. Right?
It's not just me that thinks that's weird.
The only thing I could maybe think is, obviously, one of the more recent films, I think it was Batman vs. Robin, he hallucinated Damian Wayne as Batman.
Okay, so maybe less, not as weird.
So Batman then saves Batwoman as the warehouse that everyone's in explodes.
Yeah.
And from here, we assume that Batman's dead, unless you've seen any film whatsoever and you go, we haven't seen the body.
Look, Batman is clearly dead, all right? That's the whole point.
Batman's dead. Clearly he's gone. Dead. He's
it's very, very back. Depressing. We're all raise a glass for Batman.
Hooray. I've only got a can.
Well, that's all right. I'll raise a glass. You raise a can.
So we then cut to a monastery where Damien finds out that Batman's missing and decides, well, I'm done meditating and I'm going to go back to Gotham now. And he has absolutely zero consequences for killing a man 6 months ago, which was the whole reason he left for the monastery.
Just doing his best.
Absolutely. And I'd say Stuart Allen does an amazing job again.
Yeah, it's very good.
So meanwhile, Nightwing is fighting a guy called Blockbuster.
Who I also didn't recognize. But I think that is one of his villains, I think.
Yeah, he's generally a Nightwing villain. He shows up again, which is a nice continuity of characters. He shows up in the Suicide Squad movie as a henchman.
Okay, cool. That is cool.
Nightwing is too busy having... Flirting with Starfire.
Yeah.
And...
Very flirty. This is a very sexual film.
Yes, it is. I do think with DCMU tend to be quite... I think most of them are 15s, or if they're not, they're not far off.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is for, like, violence and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's not, like, sexy, but it's, like, there's a lot of flirtiness and a lot of, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, we then see Bruce Wayne, who sounds very much like Alfred for some reason, claiming to be in the jungle in a hologram.
Yeah.
And it turns out that that's because it is Alfred.
He's not very good at this hiding.
Yes. So Alfred is basically going, here's why Bruce Wayne isn't here. I mean, it's a bit like, Now I know that they're not doing this plotline. Wasn't there one time when Batman went missing, they basically forced Thomas Elliot to impersonate him for a while?
I don't know, but that sounds likely.
Because I think it was... Because that was like the second major Hush plotline. Oh, he looks like Bruce Wayne now.
That's funny.
Nightwing then goes and talks to Alfred. Of course, Alfred has the exact time in minutes that Bruce has been missing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we also meet our kind of new member of the Bat family that we've never seen before. Luke Fox, who is meeting with his dad, Lucius Fox.
Yes. And they seem like quite nice. Quite enjoyed them.
Yep. So I think it's made very clear that the kind of idea is Lucius is always a little bit too busy.
Yeah.
And he's maybe not the best at meeting with his son. And also it's mentioned, Luke was in the military and has fighting skills.
We've got there's a fair amount of military prowess in this one as well.
Speaking of which, we meet with Kate Kane, who is meeting with her dad to try and get information on the masked man, who we know is the heretic, later in the film, and also trying to find Batman.
Yeah, because, you know, they know something's up.
And Well, she doesn't have to look very far for Batman, because the Batmobile drives right past her. Which is awesome, because we get Dick Grayson Batman.
Yay!
Which is something I've wanted to see for a while.
The best Batman. That's not... I mean, I like him, but I don't know if he's the best Batman, but it's good to shake it up occasionally.
And also, I like the suit they have here. I don't know if this is deliberate. It reminds me of the original Timverse suit, because it's an older Batman suit. So, I did like that.
Because he needs
as well.
One that fit him before Batman became super buff, I guess.
Yes.
It needs to fit the gymnast.
Plus, I suppose the brand new one might be a bit blown up.
Yes, exactly. It's obviously one of the old ones, so.
Yeah. So, whilst Batman 2, which is how he's referred to in the voice cast, whilst he is fighting against some Black Mask goons, because basically the idea is, well, since Batman's disappeared, crime's going back up, so Batman needs to be seen to be around.
Yeah, which is fair. I understand that. That's a story that comes up occasionally.
And whilst he's fighting, Damian Wayne appears! And also sets up... Now, I don't think they go anywhere with this, but he basically causes a grenade to go off on Black Mask's face, which bonds his mask to his face, which I know is an explanation in the comic books why Black Mask has that mask permanently on.
Right. Pretty grim.
DC...
Yeah.
So, unsurprisingly, both Robin and later Batwoman instantly figure out that this isn't the proper Batman.
Well, they do know Batman pretty well, so you would know how people fight, especially since both of them are schooled in fighting, so they'd be able to pick it up. But it is quite funny, like poor Dick, he's just doing his best.
So, after defeating the goons, Dick Grayson and Damien are tailed by Batwoman. They talk to her. She says, well, I was at the factory where he died. And the three of them investigate.
Mm-hmm.
So Dick Grayson tries to recruit Batwoman. She's not interested. And then Dick and Damien really argue about what it means to be wearing the bat
they
suit.
They proper clash in this. It's a really interesting comics like line, and it's a really interesting dynamic, because like it reminds you that Bruce is also Damien's dad.
Yeah.
And like he doesn't necessarily know Dick all that well, and Dick's just like struggling, just trying to do his best. So, you know. And you know that what it means to be in the suit does mean different things to different people.
Yep, absolutely. And also, I do like the dynamic of fun Batman, serious Robin.
Yes, which is one of the real... If you read the Grant Morrison run, that is one of the things I really like about it, especially once this initial, like, butting heads, when they get the sort of dynamic into it and you see the difference it makes to Damien.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Alfred has managed to find Batman's files on Batwoman, reveals it's Kate Kane, who Dick Grayson...
So we can get the sad backstory.
Yep, the sad backstory, which is Kate, her sister, and her mother were all kidnapped. Their father saved Kate, but her sister and her mother were stuck in the fridge.
Yep.
Because that's... Even if it's a female character, it has to be female characters we stick in the fridge.
I mean, she needs a tragic backstory, and this is the tragic backstory. But then she goes to the army, and you know, that's why she gets her fighting from.
And also, they don't really expand on it here. Effectively, Kate Kane is another socialite, so that's how Dick Grayson knows her, because the two of them were on the circuit at the same time, as it were.
You go to the kind of Bruce Wayne type parties then, yeah.
I mean, I do wonder how, when you actually look at it, how many Batman heroes and villains can be traced back to that circuit?
Yeah, well, you know, they're clearly all bored.
Yeah, it's not like they could do anything else with their money.
Let's not get into that debate.
Yes! So we then kind of cut to also references to the fact that the big guy is called the Heretic. I think he's really severely underused in this film.
Yeah, he is.
They really kind of treat him a bit like...
It'll be interesting.
Sorry. I think they treat him a bit like... The comparison I would think of is Bane in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Like, they make it very clear very quickly. Oh no, he's just a henchman.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind of any intrigue or anything interesting about him kind of disintegrates once they've done that.
Yeah, which is what's interesting. I mean, but he's the one where the whole title of the film comes from. So that's what's weird about it, is that if you're going to call it Bad Blood and then explore what that means.
In particular, because in the comic books, does the Heretic not kill Damien?
I don't remember.
I'm fairly sure it's him.
I don't remember who kills Damien.
So, meanwhile, Luke has figured out that Batman is connected to Wayne Tech somehow.
Yeah. He's not an idiot.
Absolutely. And when you have... I mean, of all the privacy things, you'd think you'd at least cover the back of your screen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe he just slacked off occasionally around his family.
So, Luke and Lucius are attacked by the Heretic. Whilst Batman and Robin are on their way to help them, one, the Heretic stabs Lucius.
Mm-hmm.
And two, they're able to use Luke and Lucius to break into a vault of old Batman tech and Wayne tech. They're looking for a particular case. Also, at one point, we see Luke fight and we see how good he is. Basically, everyone apart from the Heretic gets beaten by Luke. So we get a fight between the good guys and the bad guys. At one point, Electrocution is about to kill Robin and Heretic kills him.
Yep.
Because he wants Robin alive. We find out why later.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Bruce Wayne waking up surrounded by naked women.
Yeah, it's a bit like in Dracula, where, what's his name, wakes up. John Harker wakes up. You have the sort of vamps.
Followed by the inevitable parents' death.
Mm. Yeah, you need to have it. Well, they are trying to traumatise him. To be fair, this is like actually a good use of it. We joke about it a lot, but if you're going to like really sort of target Bruce's trauma, that's a good place to start.
I do think, to be fair, I think this is the first time the DCAMU has actually portrayed this bit.
Yeah, I think so as well.
So it's a good place to put it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why is we're actually entering the mind of Bruce Wayne as he's being tortured by Mad Hatter.
Yeah, which is cool. We haven't seen him before either.
Yeah, and I do like this idea of Mad Hatter. Well, not only that, he must know that Bruce Wayne is Batman as well.
Yeah, exactly, to do this.
And I do like the idea of minor villains knowing Batman's true identity. We find out that the leader of this group is not the Heretic, it's actually Talia al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to mind control Bruce. Also, for some reason, the Heretic is really desperate to capture Damien. Which, again, we find out later why.
Yeah.
We then get a scene with Luke talking to Dick Grayson. Not really much happens.
Yeah.
And then we see... Sorry?
Yeah, I said nothing much at all, actually.
And then Kate Kane gets Dick Grayson blocked. whilst flirting with Renee Montoya.
Hooray!
Which I think this is the first time she's had more than two lines of dialogue in anything. I do... Obviously, she's kind of... The one kind of major role she's had recently was the Harley Quinn film.
Yeah.
Which I do find it... I do find it a shame that we've never seen her as the Question.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
I mean, admittedly, the version of the Question that I have seen animated was phenomenal, which was the... It was voiced by... Oh, what's his name? The guy from The Reanimator. Jeffrey Combs.
Oh, cool.
But there's a version in the Justice League Unlimited, and he's awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong, you can see how they based Rorschach off him, but he's awesome.
Yeah.
So Batman talks to Kate Kane, and we get a nice little breakdown of this is why Kate Kane idolizes Batman, this is why Dick Grayson doesn't work with Batman anymore.
Yeah.
There's actually an interesting... And I like this idea more than the kind of, oh, Bruce Wayne is the mask.
Yeah.
Both Bruce Wayne and Batman are masks of what he actually is, which is basically just his pain and his anguish and his anger.
Yeah.
I do like that idea.
Yeah, it's nice to, like, dig into it in that way.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Luke finds an Iron Man suit.
Does. But it's all black. It's not quite an Iron Man suit.
And Damian, who is locked up because he has a concussion, gets kidnapped and hidden in a nunnery.
Ah, bless.
And it turns out the reason that the heretic wants Damian Wayne is to steal his memories and have them inserted into his brain.
Well, yes. It sounds ridiculous, but yes.
And so the idea of the heretic is, one, making Damien was taking too long because he was like grown like an actual child.
Yeah.
So the heretic is a refined version of Damien who's been aged up to be an adult. But he has no memories and, as far as he's concerned, no soul.
Yeah.
And the heretic breaks down and basically Talia kills him. I mean, it pays off because it annoys Heretic's main henchwoman Onyx.
Yeah.
But it's kind of going, and it's later on where I think Damian ends up fighting Tusk, and I spent that whole time going, this would be so much more interesting if it had been Heretic.
Yeah.
Well, even if you're not going to actually explore the theme and explore the character, it just...
Yeah, but, you know, it's fine.
We then get Batwoman and Batman breaking into the nunnery, being attacked by Nunjas, which is a joke from the film, so I'm allowed to say it.
A great joke.
Batwoman has agreed to use rubber bullets. And just as they're starting to get beaten, Batwing appears.
Which is amazing.
I mean, it is an Iron Man suit made for Batman.
Yeah.
We then have kind of a break off, so... Damien manages to escape and rescues his father. Talia, Mad Hatter, and the rest of the kind of Mindbreak team, which I think is the Calculator as well, they run. Batwing's busy fighting Firefly and Killer Moth. And the compound kind of falls apart. And Onyx and Batwoman fight because every time that they can get Batwoman on or alone some with a female villain, they take it.
Works me.
We also get, I think the character's name is Hellhound. He's a guy that does a load of flips. And they do basically the Indiana Jones thing where he does a load of impressive stuff and then he gets taken out by rubble.
Which is great.
And also Batwing manages to use rubble to defeat Killer Moth.
Very useful rubble, is all we're saying.
And Batwoman throws Onyx off the side of a building, so she's definitely dead and we won't see her again.
Definitely.
And Batwing saves Batman, Bruce, and Damien.
Which is great.
And Batman, so Bruce Wayne shows his appreciation by telling Batwoman and Batwing to go away.
As you do. Because, you know, look, he's a bit messed up. They're all a bit messed up. Absolutely. At the moment. It's all very traumatic. Family stuff.
Traumatic family stuff, and it's at this point, I am thankful that this is like the fourth or fifth Batman movie, because it's very clear that Bruce is acting really out of character.
Yeah.
I mean, he has potential meat shields, volunteering to be meat shields, and he doesn't use them?
Yeah, but he doesn't. No, he's a little out of sorts.
It's the old, I mean, it's an old joke. Why do you wear dark colours? Because I don't want to be shot at. Why does Robin wear bright colours? Because I don't want to be shot at.
Yeah.
And at one point, Bruce really puts down Dick.
Yeah, really. It's not nice. Don't like it.
Yeah, you're not Batman anymore.
Yeah, just drop it. I'm Batman. I'm back.
And meanwhile, COP 27 is taking place in Gotham, which must be really fun for the traffic. Spot the guy who lives just outside Glasgow. That reference might not make sense in 4 weeks' time. So, meanwhile, Kate Kane is at home talking to Dick Grayson in a dressing gown. And she's attacked by her dad.
Yeah, also not good.
Also not good. Also, yes, of course, Kate Kane is in a very revealing outfit whilst fighting her dad.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Bruce Wayne is about to give a speech at Cop Gotham. I don't know what it's actually called. I'll just...
Cop Gotham.
I've just referred to it as that. It turns out that Bruce Wayne has given everyone a translator that goes straight into their brains, because that's not going to go wrong. And has also revealed that where they are, the conference hall, is actually the Watchtower.
Mm.
Which surely,
it's important. Yeah.
That's going to be a dead giveaway when the Justice League start using it.
You would have thought.
Meanwhile, some of the mind control crew break into the security office. Mm-hmm. Whilst this is happening, Batwoman, Nightwing, and Robin meet, as well as Batwing, who shows up as well. Nightwing and Batwoman immediately click, okay, something's happened to Bruce.
Yeah.
And when Nightwing arrives and tells them, well, we hacked this drive, and these are all the dignitaries they're trying to take out. And it turns out the plan is Bruce Wayne, who's been brainwashed, is helping the League of Shadows mind control the dignitaries so that they all work for the League of Shadows as well.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad plan.
It's a brilliant plan. It's nuts, but it's...
it's one of the better plans.
So, Bruce also knocks out Alfred.
That's not on. That automatically, you know, that nothing good bad can happen of this.
So we then have the bats flying over to the watchtower. And we're given the... it will take about 10 minutes for the mind control to work.
Well, that's good, because there's things we can do in those 10 minutes.
And also, Bruce suits up.
Yeah.
And we get Firefly fighting Nightwing, Damian, Kate, and Batwing's fighting Firefly, Damian, Batwoman, and Nightwing face off against Batman, Tusk, instead of the Heretic, and Talia.
Yeah.
So, first of all, as I said, surely it would be more interesting to have Damien fight either Talia or the Heretic than just generic big bad guy. I mean, I can see why Batman and Nightwing are fighting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I guess they wanted to hold that off.
Aye. So, Batwing ends up defeating Firefly first, which blows up one of the engines in the watchtower. There's a lot of villains getting killed in this film. Considering, yeah, the whole idea. I mean, it's even, like, at one point, when Damien does defeat Tusk, he refuses to kill him,
mm-hmm,
and goes, justice, not vengeance, and then Tusk dies anyway.
Yeah, you see Damien's grown a bit, the justice, not vengeance, yeah, from his 6 months with his dad.
Yep. And most importantly, Alfred saves the day.
Again, as always.
Because he goes in to the mind control room, manages to punch out the calculator, and then inadvertently causes Mad Hatter's head to blow off. This movie is so dumb and I love it.
It is.
It's just so dumb. So, Damian Wayne and Batwing work together to avoid the tower hitting Wayne Tech. And Nightwing is getting pulled apart by Batman. Because Batman might have taught Dick everything he knows. He's not taught him everything Batman knows.
Yeah.
And Talia hands Batman a gun.
Yeah.
But thankfully, Damien and Dick manage to get Bruce to fight out of the control.
Yeah, yeah. By calling on his family ties, which is sweet. I like that.
I do like that. Batwoman and Batwing arrive. Batman shoots the sword out of Talia's hand. And then Talia runs away. She jumps into a flying craft, and mm-hmm, just as she's about to get away, Onyx comes back from earlier in the film and causes the craft to blow up.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
So, that's the end of the main action. Kate Kane's talking to her father, and then is visited by Renee Montoya. Luke, Iron Man's past his dad's door.
See, this is why people say that Iron Man is the Batman. It's just not true. There's no correlation.
Yeah, they're
it's
not. Just... yeah. Well, they're distinctly different.
Yes.
And Dick Grayson talks with Alfred whilst Bruce and Damien have a father-son moment, which is nice.
It is.
And we finish with a hero shot of the Bat family and realise that the whole thing is being watched by Batgirl.
Hooray!
Which is a nice...
pretty good film.
Absolutely. Also, that's a nice sting for something that absolutely doesn't become relevant in anything else, because there's not enough... Look, I think the next time Batgirl shows up is her being killed in Apocalypse War. So, yeah, that was a good film.
Yeah.
As I said, it's completely and utterly nuts.
I love it. Well, I like it because I like all the family stuff. I like the idea of it all. It is completely nuts. But, you know, it's a bit different from what we've had.
Yeah.
It gives you another side of Batman, like digging into the family a bit more.
Absolutely. I think this is probably... I actually think this could have been in my top five.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we all know it would have been in mine, but you know, like, I like the comic run as well. I mean, it's been forever since I've read it, but I, you know.
Yep. So the next time we have the DC AMU is Justice League versus the Teen Titans, which is, it's the first time that we've seen the Justice League since Throne of Atlantis.
Right, cool.
And the main story is Damian Wayne being sent off to join the Teen Titans, which is Nightwing, Starfire, Raven, Beast Boy, and Blue Beetle.
Well, I mean, I'm a bit worried about when he meets Starfire again, because, you know, I don't think he'll get out of bed. Given the start of this film.
Yeah. We also have... So we do have the Justice League, which seems to break down to Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, and Cyborg.
Okay.
And... yeah, because... I think the Teen Titans become a really big part of the DCMU for the next couple of films. And particularly, as I said, Damian Wayne's pretty much one of the biggest characters in the remaining DCMU films.
Which is cool.
So that, before we get to that film, we have got one film before it, which is DC Superhero Girls Superhero High.
Oh yeah, that's going to be fun.
Which, yeah, I mean, looking at the cast list is awesome. It's a series. I mean, it's, I have no knowledge of any of these.
I just films. Know my friend's kid loves it.
So yeah, I think it'll be interesting, and it's also nice to have a kid friendly spin-off that isn't Batman. So that's good as well. And then after those two films, we have The Killing Joke.
Yeah, that'll be... So that's the next film Batgirl shows up in, surely?
Unfortunately. Yeah, I really want to get a guest for that film. I've given up the idea of it's going to be someone that doesn't dislike the film. And then the next two after that are a second DC Superhero Girls, and then the last of the Batman Unlimited films, which is Mechs vs. Mutants. Hopefully it's more like the first one than the second one.
Yeah, let's hope.
And yeah, that's what's all coming up. If you have any feedback on any of the films that we've watched or any that we're about to watch, please email us at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com.
Yep.
Have you appeared in any other podcasts recently?
No, I did an Iron... We've done an Iron Man, Iron Fist, Sons of the Dragon on Heroes for Hire. But I'm not sure if that was out the last time we spoke, so I've had a bit of a break, so maybe not.
I believe that there is because there's a new Iron Fist comic book that's annoying a load of people. Something about they're doing the basically the Spider-Man No More arc.
Oh,
or Iron Fist or something like that.
No, that's just the title. It's
that's
not
just the
same.
Title.
It's not the same. Yeah.
And the image.
As far as we know,
we don't know,
but there is a new Iron Fist. But at the moment, there is no Iron Fist, so that makes sense. So.
Right. Anyway, well, that's what's coming up. I am also on the Rise of the Robots podcast. By the time this podcast comes out, we'll have started our coverage of BattleBots Season 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
exciting.
Oh, it's definitely the best BattleBot season we've had so far. It's crazy. There were over 500 robots that entered.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, 4 weight classes to be fair, but still, it's, yeah, nuts.
That is nuts.
Anyway, thank you for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Awesome. Can't wait.
I actually can't, because I'm really fascinated to see what this comes like.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.